everybody. Our girl Carrie is back. Tonight was the season 7 premiere of Homeland, and we're ready to get back into spy mode.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
There it goes. Yes, there's that music. We missed the music, the opening theme in tonight's season premiere of Homeland, but... I'm still psyched for this episode.
I'm still psyched too. I miss it. I'm glad we have it. I don't know why they took it out. I think they played it in the end. I don't even think they played
they
it in
did
the
not
end.
Play
I don't.
In the,
hopefully, we get it back next
in
episode.
The end credits. But yes, hi everybody. We are talking the season 7 premiere of Homeland, Enemy of the State. I'm Leslie Corral. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at LeslieTaFace. Say hi to the good people, Roger.
All right. And my name is Roger. And you can find me on Twitter, Roger_Corral. And if you Google Beef Supreme on Instagram, or if you type that into Instagram, you should find me there as well.
Should they find you, or will they just find a picture
of
the
a
Taco
burrito?
Bell burrito?
Yeah. No, they'll find me. They'll find me.
Okay. All right. Cool. So, you know, it's been a long time since we've seen Carrie back in action. I feel like in between the seasons always feel like forever. And this was kind of like a quick hit start to kick off the season. What did you think?
I liked it. I think at this point we need to realize that this show is no longer really serialized, right? It doesn't really feel serialized anymore. I mean, honestly, if you've never seen Homeland, you could have seen this episode.
I don't know if I completely agree. I feel like it's definitely more season-oriented as opposed to in its heyday of its early seasons when the storylines, you know, overlapped the seasons. But I think it's still serialized. So this episode sort of started with a super strong commander-in-chief, President Keane, who...
Super strong.
At the beginning of last season was, like, you know, a very democratic, very, like, you know, level-headed, you know, sort of commander-in-chief. And now she sort of went into almost, like, Carrie called her a fascist, essentially. And she's out for blood after the assassination attempt on her life and the coup, essentially, last season. And she's out for blood, and we already got our first death of the season.
Just like that, right? It's a little authoritarian. I don't know what to think of it. I mean, honestly, I feel like this show was always supposed to be what happens in the background while we look at the faces of public policy and of government. I think with the election of Keane last season, it starts to feel like Homeland is no longer about the behind-the-scenes people. It's now about...
It's all front and center.
It's all front and center. And I don't know, maybe it parallels government now. I mean, I feel like at this point with the current administration, we know FBI directors, we know heads of housing development, we know, like, every single department. So, you know, in that sense, it probably parallels.
It's crazy. And things lately today seem crazy, so nothing on the show seems so far-fetched anymore.
Though they did, like you said, so they ended up with the murder, right? Like, I'm assuming it's a murder.
Okay, so we're talking about General McClendon, and McClendon, sorry if I'm saying his name wrong. So at last season, he was basically the guy running the mastermind, the coup against President Keane. And, you know, it was thwarted. You know, Carrie, Quinn, RIP, I still miss him. But so now Keane is like, she's essentially going after everyone in the FBI. And, you know, even people who weren't remotely related, everyone's getting jailed, arrested. This guy, General McClendon, he ends up getting sentenced this episode to life in prison, not death, which is what Keane wanted. And essentially,
that was a powerful speech, by the way.
Yeah. So essentially, she tells her her chief of staff, handle it.
Which is never a good... That's a very Tanya Harding type of message.
Or she says, fix it.
Fix it. Take care of it.
I didn't initially interpret that to mean, you know, Tony Soprano, take him out. But is that, what do you think? Is that what she meant?
Of course, you're the commander in chief. If you tell someone, hey, handle this domestic terror issue, yeah, you're kind of laying it out bare bones. And going back to what this show used to be behind the scenes, you know, this show was about how terrorism comes from abroad and how it's grown in other places. Again, now that it's all front and center, Now it's homegrown. Like, we have homegrown terrorism, and we potentially have government I don't know if that's even a correct term. We have 200 people that were sent to
deep
prison.
Deep state stuff.
No, I'm not saying deep state.
But that's essentially what was happening in this storyline. She's going after all these people in the FBI, including Saul. But, like, there were people involved, obviously, in this orchestration to kidnap her and attempt to kill her.
Well, again, I think, as with all history, the victor gets to write history. So, you know, if the coup was successful and they got rid of President Keane, then it would just go down as a blip in history where we had an authoritarian president and our government handled it. Because they were...
She was not authoritarian before it all started.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what history would say if they were successful. Because they weren't successful... Now they all go to prison. Now they're all terrorists.
I actually disagree with that. I feel like if it would have gone off without a hitch, they would have pretended like it was a tragic thing and moved on. I don't think they would have even addressed that. They probably would have been like, oh, she had a heart attack or, she died peacefully.
Oh, you think they would have hit it completely?
Yeah, completely.
Oh, okay, I mean, okay. That's different.
Spies and people.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, going back, General McClendon, he was working with Dara Dahl as well.
Yeah, exactly.
In running this mission. And you're right. We've seen them do these type of missions overseas where we don't know what the end game was.
Yeah, things get filed away.
Things get filed away. And classified. We think, as the public, that we know what happened when in reality the CIA was behind a lot of covert missions.
Yep. Okay, so yes, obviously Keane is going to be a big, powerful force this season. I'm guessing she's going to be a little unpredictable. So Carrie called her a fascist in the very beginning of the episode. Do you agree with that?
No, I think you could have fascist tendencies. And I think we had this debate before we got on air. I think she has every right to be paranoid. There was an attempt on her life.
Yeah, and she says that in this episode. She was like, never before has it been this drastic. And this was, I think, I don't remember if she had taken office, but it was like she was barely getting in there.
I would say, you know, Lincoln had his life taken, but this was the government coming after you. Yeah. The U.S. government was trying to get rid of their president. And it wasn't even, it was their intelligence agencies that were trying to get rid of it. So it's not even like elected officials either. So it's a scary thought. At the same time, these people do swear an oath to the Constitution, and it's a matter of where you fall on who is correct. I think they're all patriotic and all American.
I think the running theme this season and a little bit of last season, but continuing, it's going to be paranoia. Everyone's going to feel paranoid, not knowing who to trust, not knowing where to turn to. So the episode begins with Carrie. She's back at her sister's. She is unemployed. Franny's she looks a little bigger.
Does that mean we skipped a few years? It does, right?
I mean, she was like in grade school last season.
Well,
we didn't skip a few years because, I don't know, maybe they just got a bigger kid. She just looked bigger.
If we skipped a few years, that means, you know.
We didn't skip a few years because Keane's still in office and this kind of still is unraveling. I think they just maybe got a bigger, the girl's
a
little bigger.
A year or two? No?
I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think so. We see her sister's daughter, who's now a teenager, and she's very...
Dana-ish?
She is Dana-ish. She's very socially conscious. She, like... a little bratty to her father, basically saying you're a sellout because you're still part of the government that's investigating these people. They have this little thing. I didn't even realize this until I looked it up later. We haven't seen Carrie's sister since season 4.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? It's season 7.
That, so I can't even buy that. That's weird.
I checked on IMDb. And it sucks because I feel like her sister always plays the same role of, like, she's always doubting Carrie, you know, and like going along with the paranoia thing at, you know, before the end of the episode, she kind of accuses her of being crazy again or maybe going off her meds or becoming unhinged again. But I feel like she doesn't realize Carrie legit is a super spy who really does stop the SHIT from hitting the fan all the time and, like, potentially saving the country.
She doesn't know this.
I know, but, like, she always doubts her. It's like, you know that your sister, not all the details, but you know that she's involved in, like, some really, like, deep integrated stuff, but yet she's always just, like,
if anything,
doubting her.
I think I'm not a big fan of the family storyline. I feel like every time Carrie goes there, it's so she could, you know, regain everything back, you know, get in the right state of mind after all the stuff that she goes through. But I'm not sure if I, as a viewer, care.
Well, no, but Carrie is, at the end of the day, not the most stable person. So realistically, you know, she would have to live with a family member or live with someone. Yeah. I mean,
and she's the one that provides her the meds. Like, we get to see
a lot. I think she has a doctor, probably. That
No. I think they changed it this episode. I don't remember. If anyone remembers, let us know. But her sister used to provide her with her medication, because if...
I think that was many years ago, though.
Well, like, yeah, because as part of the CIA... Well, yeah, many years ago, because she was... You're right. She probably has a doctor now.
I mean, she's not in the CIA anymore, so she...
You're right. She could get it anywhere she wants. But I think her sister... It's family. And anytime you're family, you don't look at your sibling as... their career. You know, if your brother or sister is a teacher, a firefighter, a government official, you don't talk to them that way. You talk to them as your relative. So, I mean, I'm okay with that.
I just feel like I need her to show respect to my
girl, Carrie. No, she's not. She's not going to.
Carrie's a badass. Respect that name.
Oh, my God.
So yeah, she's like, oh, you know, don't worry. I have a job interview today at this company. Lies. They're all lies. Carrie spends a lot of this episode really working really hard to put together this meet between a senator named Sam Paley, who is the good wife, Dylan Baker, and this new character named Dante Allen, who's her source, who is currently interviewing all of the people that are getting detained and arrested.
We're told she's just FBI. An old friend, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's from what I could see online, this isn't a character we've seen before. He's new, but apparently he has a history with Carrie. They've worked missions before, and so she's really trying to force together this meet. The senator doesn't really want to meet. He's like, it's too late. He doesn't really want to come forward and testify, putting his name out there because of the potential of getting arrested or whatnot. And she just, like, you know, really stubborn about making this happen, and it kind of blows up in her face.
Yeah, I mean, she still has the bug, and I feel like that's why she was a great CIA agent. What the show always told us is that you don't rely on talent. You know, she's always been a talented person, but what got the missions through the end of the day was her drive. She always
relentlessness.
Yes. I mean, how much did we see her fight for things? That's what she does. So even if you take, again, you could take the Carrie out of the CIA, but you can't take the CIA out of the Carrie.
Oh my gosh,
you can't. You can't. She has it. Like, she wants to. The whole time I was like, what are you doing? Like, no one cares about what you're doing. Like, no one's, like, paying you for this. What are you doing?
No one's paying her for this, but this is genuinely her feeling like there has been a huge wrong that needs to be righted. Saul's still in jail. Apparently, a lot of people are in jail and being denied their civil rights and so forth.
I think they're getting their civil rights. It's questionable.
They kind of allude that they're not, because I don't even know if the public's being made aware of, you know, exactly the degree of how many people are being arrested. And at the same time, they're getting fed, you know, the people who are following the Alex Jones types character.
With Brett O'Keefe. That's right.
They're getting all kinds of misinformation. But so, you know, Carrie does the whole spy thing. She, like, checks into a hotel. She checks out. She gets her wig on.
Can I say I felt bad for the guy that said... That guy was exposing himself in a corner.
I know, yeah. So she notices that her source is being tailed, and yeah, she goes
she
and
just
does
outs
this.
A guy in the right there on the lobby.
And it's funny because, you know, with the whole Me Too thing and people, like, trying to be careful, she's just like, yeah, he's exposed. And they were quick. They were like, okay. I mean, not that they wouldn't, but they're also trying to protect themselves.
You think the Me Too movement got them to go?
Well,
to
no,
react
but
faster?
I just feel like that's a nod, like, you know. Guys being creepers all the time. No, we don't have time to question.
He did look a little suspicious. I'm not gonna lie.
But she took care of business, so she gets her source, Dante, and this is where I was confused, because so apparently he hadn't agreed to meet with the senator. He kind of didn't know why he was meeting with Carrie, but he's down to, like, do all this super secretive stuff, and then he even gets in her trunk, and he still doesn't even really know what's happening. See, so for a guy who's like, oh, I don't know, you were still really down to kind of follow along.
I think the introduction of this guy was a little off. Like, oh, once he finally gets to see what the plan is, he's like, oh, no, I'm not doing this, but jump in my trunk, and let's do all this. Oh, okay.
He did kind of resist at first, but he got in there, and then I guess he was there for like an hour. During that hour, she has to change course of plans, and so she gets her niece to bring her the keys of her brother-in-law's office, and this teenager sees her essentially in her wig spy disguise attire. She sees Dante pop out of the trunk. So she sees all kinds of crazy suspiciousness, which later will get Carrie in trouble. But yeah, the meeting ends up blowing up. The senator's like, don't ever talk to me again. I thought she was going to convince Dante for a second that... She kind of was like, you know, you don't have really a career left. This is important work. She had him for a second, and then the senator just showed up a minute too early.
Yeah, I think she was on her way of convincing him. Though, I mean, you know, for someone that's been in the CIA for a long time, terrible planning. Like, just terrible timing, if anything.
It's because she had to change the details last minute.
She was rolling.
She almost had it.
But nothing else could. I mean, the little girl came through. Everyone came through.
She needed one more minute with him. One more minute, and I think she would have gotten him on board. I think she's going to eventually get him up on board at some point this season.
But as we've learned on the show, you know, for all of the work that Carrie does and the CIA does to help out the country, I think anytime you become a source for the CIA, you're not exactly protected. And so, you know, even if I believe Carrie, there's a lot of people that have believed Carrie and they've died. So my advice to that guy
is
don't do it.
Why you gotta bum me out?
Don't do it. Carrie's, again, I think Carrie means well.
She's fighting for justice and democracy. She is.
But unless Carrie's the president or the head of the CIA, you really can't trust her. And it's unfortunate because I feel like whenever someone like Carrie approaches you, you're like...
I don't think it's that you can't trust her. I think she will never go back on her word. It's just if things fall out of her hands.
I mean, you can't trust her because she really doesn't have final say.
Well, it's not final say. Circumstances happen. They do. For the most part, she always... No. If you want someone on your side, you want Carrie on your side, though.
Oh, definitely. She's a mad dog. Like, she knows how to go after things and she'll leave her bite on you. But... You know, like I said, when we used to see her work with the CIA, she would tell someone something and then her superiors would override that. And it was the same when she worked for that private company. It was the same anywhere she went. She's not the boss. So you're right.
She should be the boss, though, because I feel like her instincts are almost always
they
right.
They are.
Carrie gets a lot of crap because she goes on her stuff. But when is she ever, like, wrong? I feel like hardly ever. Sometimes things happen, but she's almost always on point.
Yeah.
I feel like we still haven't gotten to see the depth as to how bad all of these detainments and arrests are. And I feel like if Carrie went from being Keane's, you know, right-hand secret advisor last season to now calling her a fascist, it's because things are really bad and maybe we just haven't seen the depths of that yet. Because she's fighting really hard to stop this.
Well, can I ask why does President Keane not even want to see her? I don't think we ever got a real answer for that.
So, I mean, okay, so...
Right? There's no reason for this.
Okay, so at the end of last season, yeah, her life was saved by Carrie and Quinn. So you're right. At some point, Carrie's on the outs.
I just realized that. Like,
well, okay, so remember at the end of last season, she told Carrie, or her people told, I think it was her chief of staff, to go tell the intelligence community, don't worry, you're not going to get prosecuted. You know, we're just going to investigate this thoroughly, but there aren't going to be any arrests. And then like 2 seconds later, there are all these arrests. So maybe it was Carrie herself who put herself out because she felt betrayed by Keane.
Yeah, that's fine. But we see her go and beg to go inside and talk to her in this episode. So obviously...
To Keane?
Yes. She's like, let me in. Like, she...
When
unless that was in the preview. I remember her yelling to her because she wants to talk to her.
This episode?
It was either this episode or in the preview.
I don't remember that.
Oh, well, I must have made it up. It happened. But that's what made me think, like, why is President Keane not taking her in? Like, what's the problem? If I'm wrong about this image and I just dreamed it, I'm sorry.
I'm not 100% sure what you're talking about. But I'm sure at some point they will interact. I feel like maybe at this point, Keane doesn't trust Carrie. Or maybe she's... I just think right now she doesn't trust anybody.
But you can't govern a country that way.
You can't. I feel like the coup and assassination attempt just completely shook her. Because it happened with... It didn't come out... It didn't happen from another country or even like... a homegrown terrorist. It happened within the government. And I think that's what has her so shook.
Yeah, because that means that you can't even trust the people that are working below you.
So that's why, like, even though I do think she's acting, she's obviously abusing her power, she, I get it.
If yeah, there was, I get it.
You know, anyone who's going to be, you know, a little crazy, you know, in her circumstances,
I understand it. I don't know how far they're going to go in terms of trying to villainize any side. Maybe they'll just be neutral mm-hmm. overall, but I get both sides. You know, again, we've seen Dara Dahl do pretty suspicious things. I mean...
And he's in jail for that.
He's in jail for the coup, but he...
The suspicious things caught up to him.
Yeah, they did. But again, all these agencies work in favor of the country. And again, you could disagree on the degree that they do that. You could disagree on even that agency existing. But the point is, I think both sides are looking out for the best of the country. And so that's what makes it difficult, because we don't know what the right approach would be in such a situation here.
I don't know if I agree that both sides are looking out for the best. I think this, the whole, you know, conspiracy against Keen last season, I feel was almost rooted in sexism. And I feel like they showed traces of that last season. They were really, like, you know, hostile towards her from the very beginning, and it was like a boys club that she did not want to play a game
I remember that,
play a game with, and that's their first instinct is to remove her. I felt like that was a really drastic move. I think Dardal's character is super interesting, but I was really happy to see him eventually in jail.
I honestly think if that is the case, I wouldn't be surprised, because the image that we saw was that it does seem a little rooted in sexism. You're right. But I want to believe that these are...
in this episode, when we were seeing O'Keefe on the run, and he had to have
his... Okay, but O'Keefe's not part of the government.
No, but he was part of that conspiracy. He was.
He was a puppet season. Being used by the CIA. No,
but he was still involved.
Of course he is. He was just meeting, like, Alex Jones.
He was meeting with Dar Adal. So, I mean, and then in this episode, he was like, oh, you know, she must be hormonal. Like, they keep, like, referencing that. Like, they throw jabs at her because she's a woman. And then in this episode, you know, her chief of staff is like, you know, everyone right now sees you as thuggish and authoritarian. Yeah. She wants that. She does not want to be weak at all.
But, again, you're comparing, or you're combining different groups. The radical people...
They were working together, though.
They're working together because they accomplished the same mission. But to say that the CIA this whole time wanted to oust a president because of sexism, I'm not saying it wouldn't be possible.
I said there was some roots of sexism I wouldn't be surprised. In their mission.
Yeah, that's fair.
So we see a lot of interaction today with Keen and Wellington, who's her chief of staff, her right-hand guy. She goes to, a closed court proceeding for the sentencing of McClendon.
Yeah.
And, you know, strongly advocates for them to give him the death penalty. And he, you know, till the very end, shows her no sign of respect. He won't even take a seat.
That's
until
right.
the male judge tells him to take a seat. So it's still like he is still like telling her F you till the very end.
And she called it sedition. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So, okay, so she didn't get what she wanted, which was a death sentence. I feel like that's where I was like, I mean, he's still spending the rest of his life in jail. You know, I feel like for her to, she really wants to see him dead. That now you're crossing the line into vindictive.
Oh, I don't think so at all.
I think it is, because she was basically saying, if we don't sentence him to death, we're basically saying... condoning another attempt on my life. And I think that was a little drastic.
I think these are interesting questions because, I mean, I might have my history wrong. I don't think we've ever had a coup attempt in the U.S.
that we know of.
I think early on, back when the White House was set on fire many, many years ago, I think it might have happened then. I can't exactly remember. But, yeah, if you attempt to do a coup, what should be the punishment? I mean, yeah, prison, obviously. But at what point do you send a message that we have to respect? Because, I mean, I feel like democracy is really fragile. And even with the current administration, anytime you speak out against democracy, anytime you speak out against the foundations of democracy, journalism, the free press, you pick away at it. And once it's gone, it's hard to get back. And so if you have someone that attempts to do a coup on your administration, I don't know if I falter for going that far.
No, I mean, I get why she wanted to have him receive the death penalty. But once the jury makes its decision, I mean, again, as much as it sucks, and sometimes people don't like the decisions of the justice system, I mean, if she's a president upholding, you know, the laws, she should still, like...
Oh, I'm sure she respects it.
Well, no, because then she said, go fix that. So, and you took that as go kill him, which I was like, I was like, maybe he can sway another court thing. I don't know. But I mean, by the end of the episode, he's dead.
So we're assuming, we don't know how he died. So the episode ended with him dying, and that was a big shocker.
Okay. So they have this whole scene where he has to strip down, bend over, spread his cheeks, cough. They check his mouth, you know, a whole very degrading act. And it was probably still very satisfying because he was still a bad person who did this bad thing, right?
I don't know if he's a bad person. I don't, again.
I mean, again, he tried to overthrow the president.
I know. I think if we try, you know what? I'm not even going to speak about the current administration, but.
Be careful.
But I feel like, again, it's understandable. And I think a lot of people, whether they come from both sides, everyone wants what's best for America.
Oh, I'm not.
And this is a general.
I can't follow you there. Okay. But, the guards eventually leave the room and he's alone and he's getting dressed. And at first it's like, is he having a heart attack, some kind of stroke? And then he collapses. And then we do see like a guard or some kind of security person watching him in the monitors. And obviously they're just watching him die. They're not attempting to go see if there's anything wrong.
You're right. I forgot about that. So they're sorters, obviously.
That's intentional. Yeah. And it could be like a Scandal B6-13 thing where maybe they like pricked him in his mouth and his shoulder and gave him some sort of lethal something to kill him instantly. And again, we're left with this question of, was it Wellington, you know, on the orders of Keane? Someone eventually made the call and now he's dead. So he was murdered, essentially. He's not going to spend... Again, he got what she wanted.
She did. It might have been a misunderstanding. We don't know. But you're right. I think in the end, you should respect... Again, democracy's fragile. You should respect the court process. And if she went above... If she went over the decision that was made by the court, then, yeah, that's un-American.
Do you think she did it?
Do
you think that was them?
I'm going to keep saying... I wouldn't be surprised.
That's so easy. Okay. Another storyline. This episode was Wellington going to visit Saul in prison or in jail and basically saying, we need your help, because he sees that Keane is sort of unraveling. And he sort of makes him an offer, like, come back, be a national security advisor. And Saul sort of puts the stipulations like, yeah, but you need to start releasing these people. I'm not going to be her puppet. And he turns down his offer because Wellington says, I can't promise that.
See, I'm still thrown off by everything. Does she know that he went? Like, she said, I mean, he went to the prison and said, not the prison, the jail. And he said, we're going to offer you this. Is this coming from the president? Like, it seems weird.
I think this was his own... I think he knows he needs more people on the president's side investigating.
Yeah,
like,
that's a good point.
You know, I get why she wants to arrest everybody, essentially. I mean, I don't think it's right, but I get why she wants
to do it. She arrested 200 people.
But I don't know if that's effective. You know, really, if you had, like, one or two people, like Saul and Carrie, actually investigating the few people who are actually involved, I feel like, if anything, they're wasting time, like... arresting and interviewing all these people that probably weren't involved. It was probably a select group of people. If you have someone smart, like, and effective, like Saul, could get to the bottom of it quicker.
Again, that's easy to say. If your life is on the line, you don't want to take any chances. So we put them all in jail. We allow due process to occur. And if they...
Why are you so radical?
No, it's not radical. It's again, I understand both sides. And at the end of the day, there was a coup attempted on the president. If the court decides that a person is not a danger to society, they'll let them go.
But from what they've implied on the show, they're not doing the whole process. They're sort of just detaining them without formally charging them of anything. It's all very...
little Guantanamo-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, we'll see what happens there with Saul, if he stays in jail or if he's going to eventually take, the previews kind of made it seem like he's going to eventually accept the offer. So we'll see.
I think that's where Saul belongs, and I hope they don't take too long. If anything, if I have a complaint about Homeland, it's that they've been taking a while to get to the nitty gritty of their episodes. I think their last two or three seasons, like... they kind of take a while until, like, the last three episodes, and then everything's thrown in your face. Saul should you know, when he worked for the CIA, he was up there working right next to the main person in charge. I think that's where he belongs. He's a very good second person. And I think if he's working alongside the president in that capacity, he would be great. And I hope they do that soon.
Okay. Let's see what else. So then, yeah, after Carrie's failed meet attempt to connect these two, her source and the senator, she comes home to her sister yelling at her, her brother-in-law yelling at her because, you know, she's told their daughter to lie to them, sent her to go get keys and all that stuff. And then that's when she has it out with her sister.
I think they were being dramatic. Like, okay, you told them to lie because you're working a mission. Like, it's not like she told them to lie because she's going out to a strip club at night. Like, calm down, people.
It's funny because when Josie went to go meet Carrie and Carrie was like, oh, who's Franny with? And Josie was like, oh, this guy.
Oh, yeah. Crazy lady. I was surprised that Carrie was so nonchalant about that.
About who's taking care of her own daughter. What was her
name, Jason? Like, she was like, oh, yeah, my baby's with Jason.
And then later, I think the brother-in-law is like some drug dealer. And then she's like, oh, he's not a drug dealer. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he was.
Well, I mean, you could be a drug dealer and still not be like a bad person.
I still get why they were mad at her because I feel like they don't really know what's happening. All they know is their daughter was out doing some random stuff, lying to them about it, and there was some random dude at their house.
These are some misunderstanding parents. Like, honestly, you know your sister and your sister-in-law worked for the CIA. She does covert operations. Calm down.
So then why would I want my 16-year-old getting involved in that?
Why would you have this person living in your house? You know something might happen one day.
Well, that's not true because she, for all she knows, Carrie's out of the CIA, going on job interviews.
What did you say earlier? You can't, like, she know, she should respect the name, right?
Well, I know, but she should respect the name, but at the same time, I still get why she would be mad at her, you know, involving her daughter in this situation.
That's going to happen. We saw it with Dana. No. Like, anytime you involve kids and you bring up...
So, realistically, then she should kick her out because...
She should!
But then who's Carrie going to be with?
Okay, that's not...
As much as I love Carrie, she can still learn how to step... Like, probably calling the 16-year-old wasn't the best idea. Because some guy really was following Dante. So what if some guy was following her and then he shoots them and then the little 16-year-old's there and now she's dead?
Again, if you work with someone that...
Yeah, but her sister didn't sign up for that.
No, these are dangers that happen. You know, judges get shot at. Police officers get shot at. No, of course it's the same. Anytime you work in a situation where you might have retaliation or you might have anything
like that... Carrie had the guy in the trunk, so obviously she recognizes that the situation is dangerous.
Of course.
So, it was a bad call. It was a bad call calling the little girl to drop off your keys.
I'm not saying it's a bad call. I'm saying if you have a
former... You're defending her.
I'm saying if you have a former CIA officer in your house, you should probably expect some CIA scenarios. I mean, it happened in... even in the most comical movies in Meet the Parents. You know, what's his name? Ben Stiller moves into the house. Greg. He moves into the house and he does tests on him to see if he says the truth. These are people that worked in very
secretive operations. I know, but you don't expect them to involve your daughter.
I think you should expect anything.
No, I don't agree with that. Okay.
And I like that I brought back Meet the Parents, by the way. Great movie.
Oh, okay. Random. So yeah, and then at some point her sister, we kind of mentioned it earlier, accuses her of maybe not being on her meds or kind of says, you know, are you okay? Should you see, you know, a therapist or something?
And to be fair, do we know if she's on her meds?
We don't know. She told her she is, but, you know, Carrie does lie sometimes. I mean, she lied about her job interview.
She has gone off her meds.
She has gone on her meds. The episode started with her, you know, hitting a treadmill pretty hard, listening to her jazz music. That's right. So it makes me think maybe she's in a good, healthy place. And maybe it's just the current state of affairs that has got her, you know, acting crazy because they're crazy times, sure. Or maybe she is, you know, maybe losing it.
I think she's bored.
Wow.
She's bored. Again, she has the itch. Like, she used to be out in the streets. She was in Afghanistan. She was in Iran. Like, she was in all these places where she did work. And she's not doing anything anymore. She's not contributing to society.
Yes, I get that this is stuff that she's passionate about. But I genuinely think she's not doing it because she's bored. I think if she could have a nice, calm life with Franny, she could.
Oh, you are. That's not true.
It keeps calling her back. Like, her friend Saul is in jail. And all these other people she knows are in jail. And I feel like she strongly feels like she has to do something about it.
That's fair. You're right. Saul is in jail.
I mean, come on, Saul. He's a good person.
You're right.
He's good people. Also want to mention that. So we saw Max. Randomly, Max is just like, he's still there. Wasn't after all of season these seasons. One? Yeah. Like he's still like randomly in there. He, I guess, at some point installed all of these security cameras in Wellington's apartment. Yeah. And now Carrie's spying on him.
That's her right-hand man.
I mean, I was like, Carrie, like... Up until this point, I was like, fine, you know, whatever. The 16-year-old, that wasn't good. But whatever. She's still in her mission. Now she's literally spying on the chief of staff of the United States.
This is what she does. If I had a friend that was like Carrie.
Like a la season one, spying on Brody.
Yes. She spied on Brody. I'm pretty sure she spied on Saul. Like, that's what she does.
On Saul?
I don't remember. I think she...
You like to throw things out there.
I do. Well, because Saul, remember, had his girlfriend or his wife. And I'm pretty sure she used to get mad that Saul would go out into missions with Carrie. But now I'm just... rambling. But
I don't even think the chief of staff is that bad. I don't know, but maybe I'm not paying attention enough.
I don't know if it's bad. I think she just wants to keep a tab on the administration because, again, for some reason, Keen does not want to speak to her.
And it sucks because, in itself, she's breaking the law.
Oh, I don't think
Carrie
that's ever...
always be breaking the law.
Yeah, she doesn't care. She broke the law the minute she didn't declare her
mints. One of these days, she's just going to end up going down for some stupid little law she broke.
Actually, you know what? I wouldn't mind that. Because that's kind of how Brody died. And that's how...
Well, no. Brody died, like, in a very public execution.
No. Yeah, but didn't he still get his star?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't think he did.
And I think she was upset about that.
She put a star. I think she wrote his name. So, again, people like this don't get a public ceremony. They die heroes in secret. And, you know, the same with...
You know who died as a hero in secret? Quinn.
So, if anything, these are all... You know what? We're being foreshadowed. You're right.
So, we have to talk about this. Quinn was not mentioned at all this episode. And I know a lot of people, including myself, were very sad. I mean, I was okay with his death. I felt like it was time, but I was still super bummed out about it. He was a huge part of the show. You were even saying that at the end of last season, there was like a thread or a petition.
People put out an ad in one of the major entertainment magazines boycotting the creative team. I forgot the hashtag.
Not My Homeland? Because they killed off Quinn.
Yeah, and it was all because of Quinn.
I mean, last season, he really did die like a hero. It was so hard to see him just suffering and unwell last season after, you know, being chemically poisoned and all that stuff. But he still dies saving the president-elect, but no one knows about it, and they didn't mention it, which kind of sucks.
I think I'm okay, because again, I mean, when Brody died, he died.
No, but you still see her sad and mourning over it. I don't feel like we saw an inch of that, but maybe we will later.
That's true.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a public thing, but like privately for her to mourn.
True. And to be fair, like I said, I still think there might have been a time jump. You know.
No, there wasn't.
Franny is really big.
No, there wasn't.
Why is Franny like 7 feet tall? It doesn't make sense.
Okay, she's not 7 feet. Okay, calm down. Okay. So let's get into predictions.
Okay. Oh.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Okay, so this is not really a prediction, more as like a wish. I really wish
you just completely
that they bring back some kind of theme for Homeland and not just do like the title card. I need to see a theme with like flashing faces and Carrie.
Oh, the theme
monologue.
Song, the introduction. Yes, yeah,
with
definitely.
The crazy saxophone jack. Come on, Jazz. Come on, guys, bring it back.
So, prediction: are they bringing it back?
This is my wish.
Do you think they'll bring it back?
I hope so. I don't know.
You're giving Roger
okay,
yes. answers. All right.
Yes. Okay, cool. But let's get into the meat of the actual season. Any predictions?
I think this isn't the final season, but I think...
Do we know this?
I don't. I'm assuming. I think Keen goes down.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because even if she's right... You still have to bring the country together.
I don't think she's going down.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So she might go down as a hero. I don't know. But she's going down.
She's not
going
to go down.
Okay.
I don't think that. So in the previews, we do see that it seems like Saul takes her offer, right? He's standing next to her somewhere. And it does seem like they say, I hear voices of someone saying that they're making it seem like the general's murder was by Keen, but someone else did it to make it seem like she did it, you know, to further make her look bad and guilty. So maybe it wasn't Keen after all. Maybe it's someone doing it to make her look bad.
It's possible, but it doesn't matter. Public perception is all that matters.
Exactly.
So I could still
someone
see her going
like down. O'Keefe. You know, what could easily be someone behind it. By the way, we didn't talk too much about it.
But I was about to thank you for not.
But him this episode, he's an annoying character, but obviously he's meant to. He's meant to be kind of disgusting and, you know, he says lies all the time. He has a clear agenda. But I feel like they still try to sprinkle in, like, he's a real person. You know, his interactions
he's
with
his producer. He's
everything
that is part of what is Trump. And I think that's disgusting. So the less we talk about him, I'm happy about it.
Well, okay, so I, again, more of a wish. I hopefully we see him go down and caught at some point. Yeah. Because in this episode, he almost got arrested, but I guess the local police are fans, so they let him get away. But hopefully he, at some point, gets caught and questioned.
Freedom of speech.
Any other predictions?
I think that's all I got. I think Keen goes down.
All right, cool. We still have a lot of episodes to go. The season's just got started. I'm really excited just to see what we've got in store for Homeland. But in the meantime, where can they catch you at?
All right, so you can catch me on Twitter, Roger_Corral. And if you type in Beef Supreme on Instagram, you should find me as well.
Or you'll find a burrito. And you can find me, Leslie Corral, on Twitter and Instagram at LeslitaFace. So thank you so much, everybody, and we'll see you guys next week.
Woo-hoo. Woo! From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.